Okay, so we are back. It's been a long time. This is season 4, episode 1 of Lock It or Leave It. I'm here with my co-host that I've been doing this with since the beginning, and it feels so good to be doing this after a win. I'll throw it to you first, Ak. How are you doing, man, and happy birthday.
Thank you. So this is being recorded on my birthday. If you're listening to it, it's probably a little after, but I appreciate all the well wishes from everyone. Very grateful. Had a great time watching the FSU game. A lot of people came out to the watch party at Ferg's on Sunday. Everyone had a great time. We had cupcakes. We had party favors. We had everything you could ask for. So feeling very loved, feeling very appreciated. Very, very happy with how this weekend went.
And then last but not least, of course, we got my other co-host, Cam. Cam, it's just been a great weekend overall. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Great week one of college football. I'm headed to the Texas-Alabama game this weekend. So more great football and happy to be back.
Absolutely. Well, there's no better way to start this off than throwing it to the birthday man himself, Aaron. We're going to start doing this for the weekly recaps of our games. Let's hear that ACC check-in.
So starting off with Friday night, Miami played Miami. Weeknight game, supposed to be a decent primetime opener. Miami, Florida ended up running away with it. Miami, Ohio couldn't stop him. But it wasn't the way you would think. Now, in the past, Miami's really looked to Tyler Van Dyke to start up their offense, but he was not very good Friday. His throws, he was underthrowing everyone. He didn't look as mobile as he used to be. I'm worried that his injuries may have messed him up beyond repair because he could not push the ball downfield. All he could do is little swing passes, little screen passes. But when Miami brought Emery Williams, the true freshman, into the game, he was dotting it up. He looked better than Tyler Van Dyke. I'm going to the game again on Saturday against Texas A&M. Really excited to see how that turns out. I wouldn't be shocked to see him put Emery in the second half. Now, moving on to Duke knocks off Clemson, and it wasn't a close game, 28-7. I didn't even watch the game for most of it because I had thought, oh, I'd written him off. Clemson's going to kill him. Not a game worth watching. Someone texted me, dude, put this game on, second half. This guy, Riley Leonard, is having a hell of a game for Duke. I did. He was great. Cade Klubnik was not so great. A lot of shades, in my opinion, of the FSU game when they played Boise State, and they really struggled. You could tell the magic was gone, more or less. The magic was gone. Something was wrong. That's kind of the vibe I got from this Clemson game.
Yeah, absolutely. One more game I wanted to touch on real quick is that UNC versus South Carolina game that happened on Saturday night in Bank of America Stadium. But that's the ACC check-in, and we just kind of want to talk about FSU now and transition to everything Knowles. And Cam, I'm going to throw it to you. Coach Norvell in the post-game locker room said, what kind of football team do we want to be? And the team responded, we want to be a smart team, right? We want to be physical. We want to be aggressive, but we want to play smart. We want to take what the defense gives us. Give me your instant reactions to FSU just going in there and thrashing Brian Kelly and the Louisiana Tigers.
Yeah, and Mike, we trust. I mean, what else is there to say? I think we have the best wide receiver duo in the nation in Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson. I don't think that's a crazy take. Now, we know what they did well. We know Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson both balled out. But one thing I did notice, and I don't think Florida State's even reached their full form yet, because we didn't run the ball particularly well at all in that game. If you watch it from the beginning, I mean, we struggled. Trey Benson, we know what kind of a monster he is. He really didn't have a game up to his standards. But the LSU secondary was just atrocious looking. Everybody saw that play where Keon Coleman literally called for the deep ball against that. He saw the guy guarding him. He was like, this man simply cannot go. Guard me, Travis, throw the ball up and let me do what I do. And that's what happened.
And one thing about the FSU run game too, I like to touch on, is when you look at it from a pure efficiency standpoint, they may not have had the best game, but you have to look at the situational in this perspective. A lot of their runs were short yardage, late down plays. So they did their job. They got the first down. When it's third and one, all you need is the 3 yards and a cloud of dust. That gets the job done. And they did that. They did look to Travis more or less every play other than that, and he succeeded. But I think our running backs did their job, even if they didn't go necessarily above and beyond.
Yeah, I want to touch back on the wide receivers, but before I throw it back to you, Ak, for the running back, and Cam, for this question. You said it, best wide receiver duo in the nation. So, Aaron, do you think the LSU Tigers being exposed in the secondary is more LSU not being good enough in the secondary or FSU being too good at the wide receiver?
To be honest, I think it's too early to tell. I don't think we'll know really the true effects of this game until around week 5 or 6 when everyone kind of gets settled into their schedule. We'll see who's playing well, who's not playing well. But I don't think I have enough information yet to have a real take on this. I'm excited to see how it shakes out, but it could go either way.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Wilson, we saw the reports about all the NFL scouts that were in attendance for that game. Johnny Wilson should have had a better game. He had at least 2 drops and with balls he should have caught. So that stat line should have looked even crazier for him. But I mean, Keon Coleman, what a debut for the Florida State Seminoles. We know what he was doing at Michigan State last year, but to come in and do that in your first game wearing a Florida State uniform, I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we're talking about the foundations there now, right? And that's the whole point. We have the culture. We have the culture that Norvell and the identity that Norvell set and implemented for this program. And now we're able to go out to other schools and say, hey, look at what we're doing over here at Florida State. Look at the results we're yielding over here. You should become a part of this. And we're seeing that the two best teams this week did best in the transfer portal. We're seeing Colorado in the transfer portal with a whole new squad, right? Deion Sanders said, I'm bringing my bags and my bags are Louis. And Norvell, we got some Prada bags over here too. We aren't messing around. We got Keon Coleman. And I want to touch on Jaheim Bell, Cam. Take it away with Jaheim. He had one rushing and one catching touchdown.
Yeah, he was the best tight end in the transfer portal. Everybody saw what he was doing last year at South Carolina. The fact that the Seminoles were able to get him and add him to this vertical passing game that they already have, that guy is a physical freak. If Brock Bowers didn't exist, I think he'd be the best tight end in the nation. But I mean, this guy is just incredible. I mean, a rushing touchdown for a tight end, that just doesn't happen very often. So, I expect them to continue to run him in weird and interesting formations. Not weird, but like things that you wouldn't expect him to utilize because he has those kind of wheels and abilities.
You're talking about tight ends as well. We can't forget Kyle Morlock, another big time transfer for the Noles. He didn't have the best game receiving, 2 catches for 10 yards, but he was great and instrumental in the blocking game. He was opening up holes for Travis on scrambles, wide receiver screens. He was there opening up routes, and he was doing the same thing again on short yardage situations with the run game. So shout out to Kyle Morlock, underrated player. I wouldn't say a Wyatt Rector type, but definitely that kind of gadget guy that can do a lot of things well.
And when we're talking about, the offensive weapons FSU has, it makes you think that when you're game planning for us or when we're game planning against someone else, we're winning the matchup battle every time because I don't care who your cornerback one is. If you put him on Keon, Johnny Wilson's gonna eat and vice versa. We talked about the wide receiver core. We talked about Jaheim Bell. We talked a little bit about the running backs, but Cam, let's show some more love to our boy Lawrence Tuilagi, Trey Benson, Rodney Hill. Talk to me about that running back core and how we can do it by committee. It doesn't just have to be one guy.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron is obviously the biggest proponent of running back by committee. He loves that. Shout out to that boy Rodney Hill though. That truck he had on the guy that was had doing the fuck FSU chants at the beginning in the tunnel. I mean, the fact that you do that and then get trucked by a redshirt sophomore. I mean, come on, buddy, come on.
You can't forget, we didn't even get Keziah Holmes or CJ Campbell involved. We have a lot more depth that didn't even factor into this game. So there's a lot more to be seen.
So we talked about all the weapons and the glue is Jordan Travis. I mean, this guy's a top three run quarterback in the nation. Cam and I were talking about it. Only people I'm taking over him right now maybe is Caleb Williams and maybe Drake May. Maybe Drake May. Maybe Shedeur Sanders. We'll see. But like Jordan Travis, I mean, there's no better quarterback you want to be at the helm than this guy with the team we have right now.
It's really crazy how far his throwing has come. I mean, when he transferred in what was that, 2019? I think it was before COVID even. They were saying this guy, Jordan Travis, he was a quarterback at Louisville, but we think we might have to move him to tight end. He can't really throw the ball, but he's big and he's got good speed and he's pretty athletic. We'll move him around the field, see what happens. And I think it's a testament to Mike Norvell's quarterback development. He's really got him in the system. And he has gotten so much stronger throwing the ball. I mean, it's night and day. They used to, if you look back at the old stats, his first game he played, I think it was against BC when they first let him run, 2019, 2020, somewhere around there. And he was strictly a runner. He had like 3 carries for 60 yards. They weren't even letting him pass the ball. He was wildcatting it almost. So to see this kind of development is really, really special. And hopefully we continue this with the younger quarterbacks we see coming up. We have Brock Glenn, AJ Duffy, and Luke Promenek. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. If I'm not, someone correct me. We got a lot of young talent coming up at the quarterback position, so hopefully they can follow Jordan Travis's lead.
Shout out this guy. I mean, 2 years ago, Florida State lost, almost 2 years ago to this day, Florida State lost to Jackson State. I mean, we all know how that felt. And I mean, the fact that Mike Norvell has been able to culturally change Florida State's locker room. Did you guys listen to him in the locker room when Johnny Wilson went live after the game? Everybody has bought into to his beliefs and his structure and his program, and that's really what's accelerated the turnaround.
Here's some cool Jordan Travis stats. No one had a better passer rating versus a Power 5 team in week one. Jordan Travis, 202.99. No one had a better passer rating versus a ranked team in week one. Adjustments are the name of the game. Jordan Travis, he had a really bad throw for that interception after we just had that punt.
The
And
name off
then,
the punt, yeah.
yeah, the muff punt, right? And then we're seeing that we give them the ball right back. But after that moment, Jordan Travis had a near perfect game. When we're talking about the first drive of the game for LSU, they go 50 yards on the first play, the goal line stand by FSU. It's okay if you let it go in the beginning. Everyone makes mistakes. How do you bounce back? FSU bounced back. Now, we talked about the offense, we talked about the QB skill positions. Let's talk about that defense, man. The defensive line, Jared Verse comes back, DJ Lundy. We got guys who can pressure the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Verse is a top 10 pick this year. I don't think there's too as long as he continues to play to the level that he can do, I think that's pretty much a lock for him. I mean, this guy's ultra talented. We know what he can do off the edge. He that strip sack against Jaden Daniels causing him all kind of problems all day. But I mean, shout out Tatum Bethune as well. That guy had a huge hit that I mean, everybody saw that on SportsCenter. But I mean, that's just there's this defense is just as good as the offense. They're pretty loaded on both sides of the ball. I mean, it's going to be tough for anybody to get points. Huge fourth down stops. I mean, in the red zone, especially the early, I think it was early in the second quarter or late in the first, they had that ridiculous unnecessary roughness penalty, and they literally got seven straight stops in the red zone. Like that, they. LSU has got to be shaking their head. They 10, 12 plays in the red zone, and you come away with 0 points. You can't have that. You can't expect to win ball games doing that. And shout out Ryan Fitzgerald. He was perfect all game. That's our boy. Way to go, Ryan.
You know, I really like what I saw from Azariah Thomas. He had a really bad penalty early in the game, a bad personal foul, and he bounced back, and he had a really, really solid game in the second quarter and the second half as well. He's a young guy. He was a very highly touted recruit. I believe he was our highest recruit in the class that we ultimately whiffed on Hunter. So it made us Thomas' highest recruit, but very good ball player. Can't wait to see what he develops into as well. Still a really young guy.
Yeah, and what I've noticed is Jaden Daniels last year, he was running roughshod over us, right? Anytime he was out of the pocket, we weren't able to catch him, we weren't able to take him down. This time I saw a lot of QB contain. You know, if you're gonna want to break a run, you're gonna have to break it up the middle. And we saw Tatum Bethune say, if you try to break it up the middle, I'm putting you on your ass, man. But we're not letting you get around to the corners. And it's just great to see because we were there 2018. I mean, we're freshmen when Willie Taggart is head coach, and it's just great to see this turnaround. We don't want to get too high. AP poll week two just came out. We landed at number four. The roadmap is there, right, guys? When we're talking about the Clemson loss and the ACC championship and having to maybe take down UNC, talk to me about maybe it's too early, of course, but talk to me, Cam, about maybe that road to that or the path to the playoff or we got a shot at doing it this year, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty obvious and clear. I think you guys are gonna have the same answer, but everybody has that Clemson game in Death Valley circled. You still got to go in there. Florida, I can't even. Aaron could probably tell you, but I can't tell you the last time Florida State got a win in Death Valley. So you still got to go in, Aaron. Aaron, you want to take this and run that because I'm sure you have a better idea than me.
I believe it was 2015. It
That was
wasn't
gonna be
one in
my
Death
guess
Valley.
too. Yeah.
At least 2015. But I will say I'm almost not as scared about Clemson because Cade Klubnik was. Oh, that's not scaring anyone. The team that I'm a little more concerned about right now, Jay mentioned it earlier, I want to save it for later, bigger piece on it, is the North Carolina Tar Heels. Their defense was swarming in their game against South Carolina. Spencer Rattler was running for his life the entire time. He was really struggling. I don't think he had a single touchdown pass. He ended up getting a lot of yards, and most of it was garbage time. Drake May didn't even have his best game. He was okay. But the North Carolina defense really picked it up, and that South Carolina team was projected to be pretty good. They probably will be pretty good. They were good last year. So I am more concerned right now about North Carolina than I am about Clemson.
Kind of wrapping this up, Brian Kelly, you made a big move from Notre Dame. They said you couldn't win that big game. You go to LSU, you lose the first two home openers, or not home openers, you lose the first two openers as your tenure as Louisiana's, coach starts. Brian Kelly, you're in the gutter. FSU, we're in the opposite of the gutter. We're flying high. Next week, we got Southern Missouri. Cam, we talked about this earlier. We don't even need to do a preview of that. I mean, come on. 4 years ago, maybe, but we're a whole different team now, whole different identity, whole different culture. FSU's coming for everybody. We don't care who you are. We're coming at you, and we will be back next week for the recap of that Southern Missouri game. Any last things you guys want to say before we hop out of here?
No, I mean, I'm good. I really, really would love to see Texas upset Bama in Tuscaloosa, but I don't think that's going to happen. But that's what I will be cheering for Texas this weekend.
I would like to see maybe some of the backup QBs get in the game for FSU. I hope we build a big lead early against Southern Miss. I kind of want to see some AJ Duffy. I want to see what he looks like. Heard he had some strong spring and fall practices, so excited to see him. And I'll be on Rivals Watch as well. I will be at Miami versus Texas A&M. It's a pretty hyped up game. They got signs everywhere about it down here in South Florida. They got billboards on the side of bus stops. So that should be an interesting one. I think Texas A&M pulls it out, but I don't think they're that good. And again, neither is Miami, so we'll see what happens.
That's the first recap for college football being back. There's no better time than right now. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back next weekend. Appreciate it. Peace.